Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
We're up here now for another podcast with Tim Myers, a 90-year-old legend of Glenbrook, still living in the house he had in the 1920s out here in Glenbrook, and there's the trains chuffing past, and times have changed. In the old days, there used to be door-to-door traders plying their wares and singing out beautiful songs. And I'm just going to ask Tim for a few recollections and thoughts on that, and we'll get back to it soon. Here you are, Tim.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is... I'll start with the... we had a... In Glenbrook, when we came here, because it was a very up... old little village, and nothing happened much. And the milkman used to come around, and the milkman was Paul Piven, who had a dairy at 40 Lucasville Road, now Lucasville over 50 telephone development. He used to milk the cows, then devil and milk twice a day on foot with a milk can in each hand. You left your belly can on the front gate and he filled it up with his milk, with your milk. That's what we had first-hand service. We had a pastry cook called Mr. Love, who delivered cakes and pies on a bicycle with a big basket in front. He came from Penrith and later purchased a yellow Morris Cowley van for deliveries. I remember he used to stutter, and my late mother would try to help him with his words, which would confuse him even more. He was a very kind man. Mrs. Cotton, aptly named, came in her T-model Ford and sold haberdashery, etc. Mum nicknamed her Boadicea in her chariot. As you, some of you may remember, the T-model Ford was very high. Charlie Steele, in 1918 war veteran, came around also with buttons and bows. He walked from the Glenbrook Railway Station and carried a Globite suitcase in each hand and a bundle of material and calico under each arm, summer and winter. The Carter brothers, with full fruit and vegetables in the 1927 Chevrolet truck, came every week. Ernie Carey came from Eby Plains in his A-model Ford and also supplied fruit and vegetables. Bottle-O in the horse and cart, also a clothes-prop man who doubled up with rabbits at 1 and 6 a pair and travelled by horse and cart. He, of course, would call out, "Bottle-O, any empty bottles?" And you'd hear him quite easily and go out and he'd come and get the bottles, whatever he wanted. He was quite a funny old bloke too. A chimney sweep, an odd man named such as Paddy, an odd jab man, men such as Paddy Evans made regular visits to Glenbrook later, of course, clean your chimney or dig you a trench or whatever you wanted. If you wanted a wood chopped, pile of firewood chopped or something, they'd do anything for a few pence, because in those days people were really keen to work for what they got. And they'd do any job they could to get a few pence. And that was about what we had here. And then later on, of course, the shops opened up, and they opened up shops, and we got a butcher's shop and another shop there. That we got quite a few shops around Glenbrook eventually, and the place progressed.
That's great. I'm just going to ask Dennis, who's sitting here in the beautiful weather, isn't it? But do you want to say the clothes prop sound?
Well, yeah, when I grew up in Maroubra, I can remember all of these. I can remember the clothes prop man coming down the street with all the props over his head. Clothes props, because in those days we had long clothes lines, two poles with swinging arms and long lines in between. And when you hung the washing on, you had to prop the middle up. So the clothes prop was a long piece of timber cut off the tree with a fork in the end, and you just propped that up on the wire and stuck it on the ground, and it propped the middle of the line up, and everybody had a clothes prop. And of course, as Tim said, with the Rabbitohs used to come around, and he'd be shouting out, "Hey, Rabbitohs, any rabbits?" And rabbits were quite a common food. It got to the stage, I can't stand to even eat a rabbit now. I can't stand the taste of them. And the bottle, though, I can remember, when Tim was talking, I can remember seeing the guy in the garage. He'd come down the back with his big bag, and he'd pick the bottles up on the hand and count them, put them in the bag. And they're mainly beer bottles in those days because the beer came in, you know, quite standard sized bottles. And he'd pick them up and he'd pay the pence for how much per dozen. And then he'd pick the big bag up and go out to his horse and cart out the front and throw them in. Yeah, I can remember all of those.
Yeah, the best
and the ice man, of course, in those days before refrigerators, we had ice. And the ice man used to come around and he'd pick up a block of ice, walk through the house and put it in the ice chest for you.
Yeah, he did the same here.
Yeah.
He used to bring it up the hall there and up the steps on the hall there and put it in, into the ice chest.
I can remember River Junction, they had the ice works and I used to love to go up and watch them saw the blocks up. They used to make the ice in big steel containers and the blocks were probably, I don't know, 5 foot long. And they just put them through these big circular saws and they'd come out with the blocks. And that's where they made the ice. And of course, the silent night refrigerator came along, didn't it, after the war? Yeah. And every suburban horseman started making the silent night refrigerator. It was a gas refrigerator, worked on the gas absorption principle. And everybody ended up, by the late 50s, probably? About 1950s, you think?
They didn't need an iceman anymore, no.
No, didn't need the iceman anymore. The silent night refrigerator made Sir Edmund Horseman a very rich man. And they were a terrible refrigerator. I can remember when Mum used to make a tray of ice cream. God, that was a real treat, you know, to get a tray of one little tray of ice cream. Oh, man, we used to love that.
So how does the... being a tick in, how did the gas... did you have to have gas?
I think you could have got kerosene ones too.
Silent nights were kerosene or gas operated.
Yeah. So the electric motor compressor type refrigerator hadn't really started rolling in for residential use by then. It was mainly what they call the gas absorption. Used to heat the refrigerant up and that used to start the cycle. So it was either kerosene or gas.
It's pretty famous in science, the gas refrigerator. I suppose what I remember here is when I first came here, they had the National Bank. There used to be banks in the street up there. So that would have come. Can you remember when they first brought banks into Glenbrook?
Oh, they're going to start a Commonwealth Bank up here in the corner, but they had never came through and we never really had one. They never ever started a bank for some reason. They converted to shops in Ross Street there. They don't, where the delicatessen is now, going down to the data pass where the takeaway and that sort of thing. That was all Ruby Hunter's block, and they were going to sell the land to the Commonwealth Bank, but it never ever came good.
Okay, I think we're up at 7 minutes now. We'll wrap it up. But Tim is getting ahead of the game in terms that he's brought up his own notes that he's got to go through. So he's thinking ahead.
Tell him a little story about this.
We'll give it.
Fruitman before we go.
Tim's going to tell you about the fruit man before we go.
Fruit and vegetable man Ernie Curry. He went over. He's an old fella. He had an A model Ford Ute, and he went over to Station Street there, and he was serving over there, and Mum decided she needed some beans or something. And she said to me, "Oh, he'll be over at Mrs. Smith's. Will you go over and get me some beans?" So I said, "Okay." So I went over there. I was standing there waiting to be served. He was serving Mrs. Smith, and for some reason, he was a fairly big man, solid man, and he leant on the back of the ute, the A model Ford, and suddenly it took off. And of course, I was only a young fella, about 11 or 12, and I didn't know to jump on the side and pull the handbrake on, and it went down the hill, round the corner. I thought it's going to go over the bridge here, but instead it went down Wright Street, which was an old rough cobbled road. It wasn't much at all, and finished up down and went down through the paddock and landed in the creek down there. And it had fruit and vegetables, and so I went down there and I went down and helped Ernie pick up some of his stuff out of the creek and put it back in the boxes, and because he rang his mate up for maybe a place to come and get him and bring his truck up and take him off and finish his vegetable thing. But anyway, they hauled the old A model Ford out, and it was still going 10 years later, but it was it had a dent in the front mudguard where it was hit the creek, but it was still going all right. But that was a funny one. But he stood on the road and he said, "Oh my goodness, oh my goodness," that's all he could say. And while he's doing this, the ute's going down the road on its own. It was rather just a funny story about the travelling salesman. But he was a funny old bloke, but very, very kind. Like all the traveller salesmen were, they were very friendly and nice to you. They did what they could for you.
That's right.
Oh, that's a bit. I was just going to say, it's open warfare at the moment in retail. Every mad person comes in and just abuses the shop people, and they just... I feel sorry for some of the little people in the shops, because there's absolutely mad people going around, so it's pretty sad. Well, that's... I'm glad I did say that Tim is now becoming an aficionado, I can't pronounce that word, of the podcast, a medium. Now we've got to hold him back. He's preparing ahead of time. Oh, I'm put to shame by Tim. Okay, we'll see you next time, and hope you enjoyed some of Tim's stories.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.